Welcome to Guerrillapreneur, the Art of Waging Small Business Warfare podcast, teaching Davids how to defeat Goliaths. Now here's your host, Mark Anthony Peterson.
Welcome back to the podcast for entrepreneurs, startups, and business mavericks. If you're not a maverick, you don't have to go home, but you got to get up out of this podcast. In this podcast, we teach entrepreneurs how to defeat the corporate giant. Just like in the story of David and Goliath, David defeated a much taller and stronger Goliath, not by fighting the giant in hand-to-hand combat, but by using technology. A slingshot. The slingshot allowed the smaller David to attack from a distance that minimized the advantages that Goliath had over the smaller David. My name is Mark Anthony Peterson. I'm a serial entrepreneur, a futurist, and the managing executive at Serial Consulting, a leading small business strategy and technology consulting firm. I am also the author of the book Guerrillapreneur, Small Business Strategy for Davids Wanting to Defeat Goliaths, which is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. This podcast is brought to you by Serial Consulting. An idea can launch a business. A strategy can take it global. Today's episode is a Guerrillapreneur news episode. News about the sharing, gig, and circular loop economies that is expected to grow to $335 billion by 2025. In today's episode, we have some very interesting news. Airbnb may help you with your mortgage. The empire strikes back again in the gig economy. Pop-up hotels will make the red-hot real estate market even hotter. So let's start with what's first in Guerrillapreneur News. The Empire Strikes Back. Part 2. Facebook and Amazon are getting into the gig economy. Now, back in September of last year, I told you about IKEA when they bought TaskRabbit to help with their delivery and setup of their furniture. Thought it was a smart move and predicted that more mainstream economies will be diving into the gig economy, where Facebook and Amazon have done just that. Facebook is adding a marketplace tab to its social media platform, allowing individuals to link up with their partners Handy, HomeAdvisor, and Porch to bring cleaning and other services to that tab. Amazon has hired a crew of cleaners for a Seattle area pilot that kicked off in March. And Walmart, not to be outdone, has partnered with Handy on furniture installation and assembly, matching the IKEA TaskRabbit combination. So as I predicted, you'd see more mainstream companies partnering with these mavericks to give them the capability to play in the gig economy. And I think you're going to continue to see more of that. So if you're a mom and pop business, you got to figure out how to tap into these gig resources and expand your services so that you don't get squeezed out. If you're a restaurant, you're going to have to figure out how to partner with these delivery services to get your goods delivered to the front door of your consumers. You can't assume just because you're local, they're going to come sit down in your restaurant. They've stopped eating at places like McDonald's. They've stopped eating at other chain restaurants, preferring to have the food delivered through services like Uber Eats. You're going to have to tap into it. If you're in rural markets, you're going to have to create your equivalent of Uber Eats before they get there in order to cement your place in the market. Now is a fantastic time for big and small to compete, but you can't sit back and let these trends happen around you and not tap into them to stimulate future business growth. What's second in Guerrillapreneur news? Fat Llama. I just love saying that name. What a cool name for a startup. Fat Llama, the Airbnb of renting almost anything, just raised $10 million. Now, I told you guys about Fat Llama last year. These guys have set up a platform that allows you to share just about anything in your house. Need a drill? Need a vacuum? Need a blender? You can share all of that on their platform. And here's the really cool thing about it. They are fully insured to give everyone access to these shared items without having to take a lot of risk. So your neighbor doesn't return that drill, you're fully insured. And you can replace that drill and continue to participate on their platform. Now, Fat Llama takes a small cut from both the borrower and the lender, and their lenders are making some great money. Some of them are earning as much as $10,000 per month in rental income, while they estimate that their borrowers on the platform have saved an estimated $12 million per month. That's cool. This is another one of those areas where I think the empire is going to strike back. Retailers aren't going to accept less sales because people are sharing more. They're going to jump in and offer the same sort of services to their consumers. Rent. It's not uncommon. They've gotten unique and creative and innovative in the past when they had layaway. So I expect players like a Sears or JCPenney's, if they were still into tools, and others to offer up the same sort of platforms to give their customers the ability to pay by the service or pay by the drink in order to get access to these tools. So let's look out for that. Third, in Guerrillapreneur News, I want to talk about a speed bump to the gig and sharing economy. The California Supreme Court handed down a ruling that may make it harder for employers to classify their workers as independent contractors. The ruling in the case involving drivers of a Southern California courier company called Dynamex, and the courts required their employees to pass a three-step or ABC test before they can be legally classified as independent contractors. Under this ABC test, the worker must be free from control and direction of the hiring entity in connection with the performance of the work. Second, the worker must perform work that is outside of the usual course of the hiring entity's business. And then third, the worker must be customarily engaged in an independently established trade, occupation, or business of the same nature as the work being performed. This test is already a standard in Massachusetts and New Jersey. These standards could force ride-hailing platforms like Uber and Lyft and other Silicon Valley startups to reassess their business model. And this could also impact innovation in the gig economy. In China, there are startups that are offering services like e-scooters to one-time riders if they will agree to perform a task or a service in order to receive a discount when using that e-scooter. So they sign up, pay, and then they're immediately offered an opportunity to deliver a package or deliver a meal en route to their destination. And they can earn money or a discount on renting that e-scooter. If this standard were applied, companies like that could not operate in California, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. So it's certainly going to stifle competition if this is applied globally to all of the contract workers who are participating in the gig economy. What's fourth in Guerrillapreneur News? One-day jobs are hitting the gig economy. According to the Pew Research Center, one in four Americans participate in the gig economy. And with unemployment at all-time lows, there are many sectors like retail and hospitality that are struggling to find employees to fill all their positions. Enter companies like Snagwork and other new platforms that are acting as go-betweens, allowing users to pick up open shifts from retailers, restaurants, and hotels that have gaps in their schedules. Critics of the approach complain that when you have a pool of gig workers ready to fill open shifts, it discourages hotels, restaurants, and others in the hospitality space from hiring full-time workers with benefits. Despite that criticism, there are lots of new companies that are emerging that are offering temporary one-day jobs. Instacart, TaskRabbit, Postmates, Lyft, and others have specialized in providing temporary short-term employment that are giving individuals more options and different ways to work. There are implications for those of you who listen to this podcast who are startups and small businesses. This is going to make it more difficult for you to find workers. This flexibility gives those individuals the ability to work when they want earn what they want, and then stop working. If you're going to compete, you're going to have to make the pivot and learn how to adapt and grab some of these workers and integrate them into your business model. What's fifth in guerrillapreneur news? Uber is going multimodal, and it could have huge implications for the future. Uber just launched Uber Pool in Sydney, Australia, which gives you the option of sharing your car with someone else and receiving discounts as deep as 50% on that standard trip. That's huge. Essentially, Uber is creating on-demand public transportation. Not a new concept. There are bus lines in America that do that today, where you can book a ticket on a bus heading in a certain direction, and they'll pick you up and integrate you into their travel destination. But what's cool about Uber's multimodal approach is that they're going to integrate different types of transportation. An e-bike, an autonomous vehicle, a bus or a taxi, or an Uber ride can all be integrated into the Uber Pool app, giving you multi-modes to travel between point A and point B. So you can all see where this is headed. Uber could end up running all transportation, public transportation, for your local city, town, or village. This would put them in charge of integrating your payments across all these different modes as you move from job to home or to travel destinations. You'd be able to pay with the Uber Pool app even when you use a taxi. This is huge because it's going to open the door to more efficiently manage driverless vehicles, because you will have a central hub that will orchestrate traffic flow and payments, making it easier to overlay security and safety protocols when you add autonomous vehicles. So I'm smelling a strategy shift. Uber is no longer in the car ride hailing business. They're in the transportation business. And that implies that they will move even beyond moving passengers from point A to point B and possibly even attack freight, where they could crowdsource the delivery of packages using Uber drivers or even manage the workflow of autonomous drivers when trucks are introduced to that platform. What's sixth in guerrillapreneur news? A startup creates pop-up hotels in apartment buildings. According to TravelWeekly.com, Y Hotel announced that it had secured $4 million in seed funding to expand its venture, which temporarily creates luxury hotels in newly finished but unleased apartment buildings. Y Hotel successfully operated a 50-unit apartment building in Washington, D.C. for about 5 months in 2017. They plan to operate a second pop-up hotel with about 158 units in Baltimore this year. The president and co-founder of Y Hotel, Bao Wang, explains that the company operates in the apartment building and gradually moves out as the apartments are leased. Now check this out. Guests are guaranteed consistent quality in each of the units as the buildings are brand new. The guests can get amenities like rooftop terraces and pools, and they can also choose from full-service luxury hostel stays that include daily cleanings and other amenities of a traditional hotel or a reduced home sharing rate with a one-time cleaning fee. That's pretty cool. As the president and co-founder Mao Wong explains, you get the comfort of living at home with the quality of a luxury hotel and someone to be there 24/7 if you need it. So this is kind of like Embassy Suites, but on steroids. You actually are living in an apartment with luxury style amenities. That's a real tough competitor to Airbnb, particularly in some of these cities where people want to travel. And the rooms offer all the latest technology and amenities. They come with free Wi-Fi, and instead of having phones, they have Amazon Echo devices that the guests can use to stream music or call the front desk. Now, Y Hotel will be a fully licensed hotel, but they're going to list all of their properties on home sharing websites such as Airbnb, HomeAway, and VRBO. Now, don't think the giants are going to sit back idly and watch this happen. Marriott has announced that they're going to get into the home sharing business as well. Marriott International has teamed up with Hostmasters to announce a collaboration to introduce a new home rental venture under Marriott's Tribute Portfolio Homes brand. They're running a six-month pilot with more than 200 curated homes in London that will be available to rent on the Tribute Portfolio Homes website. Now, the average rate of the rentals will be somewhere between $280 and $351 per night for a one- or two-bedroom home. And the listing will range from avant-garde penthouse to a comfortable flat with a corner balcony. Sounds posh. Now, Hostmasters is a London-based Airbnb management company, so it'd be interesting to see how this plays out and how Airbnb reacts to this new partnership. Because I've long predicted that over time, Airbnb is going to do what Amazon had to do, which is eventually own and operate its own facilities. And that's exactly what seems to be occurring here. It'd be interesting to see how this market continues to unfold. What's seventh in Guerrillapreneur news? Are you a millennial looking for a house but can't afford it? Or have an existing house and have a mortgage that's upside down? Well, guess what? The gig economy is on its way to save the day. Startups and established gig companies like Airbnb are finding ways to help you with your mortgage. Guys, now check this out because I think it is hot. Loftium, a Seattle-based startup, will contribute to a buyer's down payment in exchange for Airbnb income. According to a story from FastCompany.com, Loftium is working out a partnership with these homeowners that if they will agree to welcome Airbnb guests for up to 3 years, Loftium will provide them the down payment for their home. Wow. According to the article, Loftium has closed on nearly 50 homes, according to the company's co-founder and CEO, Yifeng Zhang. Other startups are jumping into this market. HomeFundMe, for example, helps homeowners crowdsource down payment funds from family members, friends, and employers. Point, a San Francisco-based startup, buys equity from existing homeowners and then cashes out when they sell the home. Startups like these could reverse the declining home ownership rate in America. The national home ownership rate now stands at 62.7%. That's down from 68.8% in 2005, and millennials appear to be the driving factor. Companies like Loftium could reverse that trend and give more people the option to own a home in exchange for providing Airbnb income to those startups. That is hot. Now, don't think you existing homeowners have been left out, because there are options for you too. Airbnb has teamed up with Quicken Loans, Citizens Bank, and Better Mortgage to offer existing homeowners the opportunity to refinance their mortgage. Airbnb has essentially provided a letter of credit to these institutions, proving that the homeowners have Airbnb income from that property. The second option is to sell a portion of your home's equity to Point, that San Francisco-based startup that I mentioned earlier, that's backed by Airbnb's former CFO, Lawrence Tulsi. Point has bought equity in approximately 100 homes year to date. And with $150 million in newly committed capital, they plan to buy equity in 1,500 more homes. Point cashes out when the customer refinances or sells the home. These are some creative solutions that are going to get more millennials into the market and change how the real estate market works. This is some really, really exciting stuff. Guerrillapreneurs, thank you for listening to this episode of Guerrillapreneur News. News about the sharing, gig, and circular loop economies. Remember, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/guerrillapreneur. Help us achieve our mission of putting a fab lab in the Black Belt South in Selma, Alabama. Also, help us support the Selma Business Pitch Contest, which is going to be on December the 8th, 2018 in Selma, Alabama, at Edgewood Elementary School. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Guerrillapreneur. G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A PRENEUR, a guerrillapreneur. Guerrillapreneurs, Scott Sullivan said it best in episode 7. Be a mace. Sharpen those spikes. And remember, if you're not breaking something, your company might be the next thing that gets broken.
Thank you for listening to the Guerrillapreneur, the Art of Waging Small Business Warfare podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, you may also enjoy the book Guerrillapreneur, Small Business Strategy for Davids Wanting to Defeat Goliaths, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. Follow Mark Peterson on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Guerrillapreneur. Now I want to close with a quote from the great Chinese military strategist Sun Tzu. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war first, then seek to win. Keep fighting, guerrillapreneurs!